All of us come from different backgrounds, we come from different geographies, and the questions on our minds are very different. For example, there are many of us who want to be entrepreneurs. There are many of us who want to get into consulting. There are many of us who want to enjoy the pursuit of education over the next 1 year. We realize that the best people who can help us build our networks, the best people who we can learn from in terms of their experiences, and the best people who can get our questions answered are our seniors and the alumni of INSEAD. With that, we started the INSTART pre-MBA Fireside Chat series. The Fireside Chats are no judgment zones, which means there are no silly questions, there are no trivial questions. Any question that is on our mind is relevant not only to us, but to our larger batch. On that note, I'd like to introduce to you our guest speaker for today. Our guest speaker is Sabina Manzini. Sabina graduated from INSEAD this past June as part of the 24J cohort. Prior to starting at INSEAD, Sabina spent 5.5 years working in London for Russell Reynolds Associates, which is a leading global executive search firm. Her work at Russell Reynolds included assessing CEO and C-suite candidates for leadership potential and working with companies to define and execute their strategic talent agenda. Her intention on joining INSEAD was to pivot away from executive search. In the grueling and the cruel economic situation right now, she successfully recruited for consulting and received an offer to join Bain & Company in London, where she will start in 2025. Sabina holds a BA in philosophy and linguistics from Oxford University and is an American, Italian, and a British citizen. And she also has a pending Turkish residency. We were just joking about the fact that she did not have any difficulty in finding a job in any part of the country because she holds 3 citizenships at the same time. So Sabina, we would like to hear a little bit about you, about your journey at INSEAD, before we get into our question and answers. And first of all, I'd like to thank you for making time out of your schedule to do this for us.
For sure. Hi, everyone. Hope you can hear me okay. Very happy to be here talking with all of you. Hopefully we will get to as many questions of yours as we can. I know for some people who are coming, they may be sponsored by their companies or they may have some alumni in their personal networks already. But for others, you may be coming to Fonti and know absolutely no one from the INSEAD batch. So I'm happy to be that resource to answer whatever questions you may have. Certainly, we will focus on prioritization, but any other questions that also come to mind, whether it's about the best restaurants or how to balance singing in Fonti, whatever it might be, throw them at me and I'll try and get to them as best as I can. As mentioned, I knew that I wanted to try and recruit for consulting, but I also knew that it was going to be a very difficult year recruitment-wise. So I tried to kind of keep an open mind and look into some other areas as well. I think if I had to give just the headlines of what my year looked like, P1 was the intense kind of mania of arriving in France, figuring out how to get your phone contract set up, figuring out where you're living, all of these things, meeting about 250 people, all of whom are fascinating and all of whom you want to get to know. P2 calmed down a little bit. The nights got darker as we were in kind of winter in France, and everything went from the general mania, like truly of the first couple of weeks, the insanity of settling, to more like quiet dinners and getting to form closer bonds with people. The academics became a bit more manageable. It wasn't as much kind of constant back and forth with the groups and trying to manage, doing group work across things, but instead just quietly plugging away through assignments and forming bonds with people. P3, in the new year, I flew out to Singapore and spent a lot of my time traveling, which was a great way to get to know other people outside of maybe my cohort or my section. And then P4 came back to Fonti, switched from honestly focusing almost exclusively on travel and social and ignoring the academic and recruitment side in P3, to becoming a little bit of a social hermit and saying to myself very intentionally, you know what, you came to INSEAD to pivot, to move into a new industry, i.e. consulting, for just 6 weeks or so, keep your head on straight, focus, get this done, and then you can go back to having fun in P5, which thankfully worked out. So the social hermit bit and saying no to many things was tough, but thankfully worth it. And then P5 was kind of celebrating and enjoying the spring term and summer as the days got longer and France becomes beautiful and you just want to go and swim in the river nearby. Also meant that I got to help out a lot of friends who are still recruiting. That was my year in a nutshell, but I know there are some questions that you guys have sent in, so we can come to all of those different bits as they arise.
Yeah, I think one of the key points all of us have definitely noted in your introduction was the fact that you could spend an entire term swimming in the seas of France. And I'm sure that's an experience that a lot of us who are going to Fonti are definitely going to look forward to. Thank you so much, Sabina, for capturing your NCR journey so quickly for us. We've received a total of almost 200 questions from our class for you. Wow, now, covering all 200 questions will be difficult over the course of one fireside chat. So what we'll do is we'll divide these questions into four broad journeys. The first part is the pre-MBA journey, which is the questions around what we need to prioritize and what we need to do before we start our course at INSEAD on the 3rd of January 2025. The second cohort of questions will be on our P1 and P2 experiences. The third set of questions will be on recruitment. And the fourth set of questions will be on general prioritization. I hope that works for you.
Sounds great. I will try and keep my answers more or less short and to the point so we can get there.
Super. Thanks, Sabina. So the first question is, what did you wish you knew before the start of your MBA? And are there a few things that we should do before we start?
For sure. If you're wondering if there's any study material or anything like that, I honestly would not worry too much. I don't feel like there's any books that you need to read or anything like that. I would absolutely, honestly, take the time to more rest. Not everyone will have this opportunity. You might be running straight from work, finishing on a Friday and starting INSEAD on a Monday. But if you can genuinely take the extra option of, you know, having a week to do nothing before INSEAD, I would highly recommend it. Like, just enough time to let yourself kind of get bored so that your brain can get to that point of, okay, I'm not just running from one meeting to the next. I'm thinking about myself, so that you can kind of center yourself in your identity and have an idea of who you are before you are thrown into this weird social experiment, pressure cooker kind of environment that INSEAD is.
Yeah. Thanks, Sabina. And I think I have a follow-up question to that. And a lot of us would be preparing before we join our MBA program. So, for example, there are people who would be reading about accounting, there are people who would be reading about organization behavior. Does any of that give an edge in terms of pursuing education or the recruitment process? Or does, you know, sitting back and chilling and, like you said, enjoying a couple of weeks before we join INSEAD help?
I wouldn't worry too much is the simple answer. I think if you are someone who really wants to be there for, you know, the academic journey, and that's a perfectly valid choice, then sure, it could be helpful. But in terms of recruitment, I'll be blunt, grades don't matter. And I think I saw in some of the questions you had sent me in advance how important the dean's list is to recruiters. The vast majority of applications that you'll be filling out, I mean, fingers crossed, unless this year is even worse in terms of recruitment, you'll be filling them out before the dean's list is publicized. And so you know, won't even have that information for recruiters to look at. They won't be looking for it. Speaking honestly from a headhunting lens, like having been in my previous job and evaluating many post-MBAs, dean's list doesn't matter. Academics, yes, are important. But and if that's what you're there for, you know, if you've never studied accounting before and you really do want to become an accountant for whatever reason, fair enough. But otherwise, no, I think honestly, your time is truly better spent getting to know the rest of your cohort, hearing from them the different kind of professional, personal pathways that they've taken and building bonds that you'll be able to use for the future.
That's very helpful, Sabina. The next question was, with a lot of options available to us, do you suggest that we have a fully clear plan before we join INSEAD? Or do we leave space for flexibility around spontaneous decisions if recruitment is our main goal? Whether you should have a plan on what role do you want to do, what courses do you want to take up, or should you figure these out as you go through your NCR journey?
Yeah, I think it's good to have a plan for the sake of almost just the exercise of creating one will help you to know yourself better and give you a sense of what you value and what you might want to look for in a job. But so it's worthwhile to go through that, but you should accept that the plan will likely go out the window. So to give a concrete example of that, I studied philosophy and linguistics back in the day, and then worked at a headhunting company doing leadership assessments. None of that sounds very quant heavy, and I will be the first to admit my quant skills are not something that I'd put at the top of the list of my various talents. Because of that, when I first started INSEAD, I had it in my mind and said to many of my fellow students, oh yeah, this year, I really want to over-index on like micro and macroeconomics. I want to take tons of financial accounting classes. Like, this is my moment in life to make up for having not done those quant-heavy classes before. I very quickly realized that is not realistic. Like, I could put myself through the pain of taking tons of subjects that I was not familiar with, that I would have to do a lot of reading and extra work to do well at, that other students were just going to fly through because maybe they've been, you know, working in accounting for 5 years.
Right.
Or I could, instead of going down that struggling path, choose to balance my time better, prioritize social, travel, or recruitment, even whatever else it might be, when realistically, like, those quant skills and those classes are important. But as one of our professors actually said to us, if you leave INSEAD and become an accountant, we have failed. Like, we are not here to make you the best ever accountant. We're here to make you an incredible leader who, when someone brings you a balance sheet, they can't bullshit you. You know just enough to ask the right questions and make sure that you're understanding everything. So have a plan, except that it will go out the window.
Thanks so much. That was very, very candid, Sabina. We'll now move to the second cohort of questions, which is around the dreaded P1 and P2 semesters. The first question on this phase is, what are the required steps to take to ease the workload and effectively manage time in P1 and P2?
The best answer that I could give to that is to communicate with your group and try and establish a good working dynamic. So in brief, and hopefully this is not new information to you, but you will be working with an assigned group of students, a group of five that you're with for the first two periods, doing all of your core classes together. And there's a very heavy emphasis on group work in terms of the actual grading scheme. That group work, I think, it really is like one of the most valuable moments of the INSEAD experience. The groups are intentionally mixed. So you have a very diverse group of peoples who are from different nationalities, but also different professional backgrounds, different educational backgrounds, that kind of thing. Having a good dynamic with them will save you hours and hours of pain. For each group, that might look slightly different. You know, I knew some groups who would approach it by saying, if there's an accounting assignment, we have an accountant in our group, and they're very happy to just go and do the assignment, and it will take them 5 minutes. Obviously, that then saves everyone tons of time. There were other groups that, you know, collectively agreed after having a conversation together that they all really wanted to focus on kind of the learning aspect and not just slide through the INSEAD degree, doing it as quickly as possible. I think it's important to acknowledge, though, if you are in a group like that where you want to prioritize the learning aspect and you have someone who could get the assignment done in 5 minutes, you are making an ask of them, essentially. You're asking a favor of them. And so that should be done just with that acknowledgement and with some kindness. But yeah, communicate openly with your group, figure out how you want to split that work, and that will save you endless headaches. And also, honestly, network with other groups, because sometimes you can share answers and check work amongst each other's. I'd say that, you know, with the like little caveat of make sure you're not just openly plagiarizing, but still, it's helpful sometimes to be able to refer with others. So, yeah.
That's a very insightful answer, Sabina. Could you share some examples of how this helped you in your journey? I mean, I'm sure you had your own group of five during your P1 and P2 terms. Can you tell me what each of the five members of this team specialized in, and hence how did, you know, relying on each other for their expertise help you ease the workload on your own selves?
Yeah, for sure. So I guess to bring it to life, in my group, so there were five of us. There was me, a girl who was an engineer from Canada and had worked in like public transit and lived in Canada her whole life. There was a man from India who was sort of a serial startup founder and a little older than the rest of us, who was there with his wife. Both of them were lovely, and we had nice dinners and things together, so that was great, having kind of a home-cooked meal vibe. We had a sponsored student from Strategy And who was coming from their Dubai office and Lebanese by origin. And then we had a guy who had worked in sales in Taiwan for many years. So quite a mix there. And with the sponsored student, especially, there was a mix of priorities, let's say. So for him, the academics were definitely less important and recruitment was not at all important. So he was mostly there to sort of travel and socialize. And that was absolutely fine with the rest of us. But it did mean there were times when he would say, you know, I'm just fully away this weekend. I'm going to be in Amsterdam for the next 48 hours. I don't want to be doing work in that time. Fair enough. Thanks for letting us know. And he would then be very proactive. If he was away one weekend, then on the Wednesday the next week, he would just text us and say, hey, guys, I see we have an assignment coming up for organizational behavior. I'll just fully take this one. Like, I missed last weekend when you guys were all working. Let me now pick up the burden in some other way. Personally, I'm very grateful. We had a very good dynamic. There were some groups that had more conflict. And I use that term just because the leadership coaches in your PLDP sessions, we'll ask about conflict various times and how you're managing it. We did not have much. And I think I put that down to everyone just being very open and practical. And there was never any guilt or blame put on it. It all worked out.
That's actually very, very helpful, Sabina, in the way we are going to design our equations with our group members over the next year. And I think that also answers the question that one of us asked in terms of how do you manage travel and academics in P1 and P2? Moving on to the next question, what do you think should be the top priority for each of the semesters? What were yours and what were your observations on your batch?
So I think P1 and P2, you need to pass your core classes, yes. But you will do that. I have great certainty nearly everyone will pass if you're paying attention in lectures at all and working well with your group. Putting that to one side, I think truly the most important thing in P1 and P2 is just getting to know people, which sounds simple. But in those kind of early stages, you know, in my last job, we talked of kind of team effectiveness and the different stages of team formation where you would go from kind of forming, norming to storming, the early days of just figuring out who's who and that kind of thing before you then hit kind of the norms of how do we operate. And then finally you can excel and move on from there and, you know, really become a high performing team. Those forming days in the sense are P1, P2. And I'm actually not even talking in terms of like group work and professionals here. I just mean in terms of social bonds and finding friends. People will be running around and going to dinners and parties and things. The beautiful thing about INSEAD and the kind of bittersweet sad part is that everyone there is fascinating and interesting and you would likely be friends with. Like INSEAD does a great job at talent selection and making sure that the class is full of super interesting people, all of whom you're going to have something in common with and you could have a great conversation with. And so necessarily when you're talking and spending your time with one person, it means you're missing out on spending time with others, which is amazing and kind of sad. But the point is, everyone's going to be interesting. And in those early days, you'll be running around and finding your people. And it is worth putting in more time in the early days to make those connections so that later in the year, when it comes to, you know, people going on trips and things or dinners, whatever it might be, you are known and you get the invites to those things, because it's never that people want to be exclusive, but there's too many people to get to know everyone. And so you have to put your face out there a bit. P1, P2,
yeah, it does,
focus
yeah.
on the social side. Yeah.
Thanks. In fact, when you're INSEAD is really good at selecting talent, the next set of questions will be about whether INSEAD is really good at placing talent in good jobs as well. So we'll move to the next part of recruitment and careers. The first question on recruitment and careers was, how do you prioritize between recruitment in P4, which is the necessity to be in a target geography, and exchange programs with other schools, for example, Wharton?
To give the quick answer, I think if there's anyone on the call who's looking to go to Wharton with the intention of recruiting for the US, if you are not already American or have some connection or have worked in the States before, I have a high degree of skepticism, let's say, about how useful that will be. The people in my year that went to Wharton, I don't think any of them were intentionally recruiting for the States. Most of them knew that would probably be a fool's errand. The recruitment timelines in the States are very different. You don't get access to the exact Wharton one, so you're not seeing the same job offers, and you just have such a short time that you're not really going to be running through interviews and things. So instead, the people who went were largely those who maybe had never been to the States before and saw this as a great opportunity, or quite simply just wanted to have the Wharton name on their resume, which, you know, fair enough, but they weren't trying to use it as a gateway to recruiting to the States. More generally, whether you should be on campus for your target geography in P4, I would say absolutely yes. It does make a difference. There will be career fairs in person. There will be interviews in person. And being able to attend those, it will just make your life, A, so much easier. B, it shows the recruiters that you're serious. And if you're trying to pivot geography in particular, and let's say move to France and you've never lived in France before, if you're taking the interview from Singapore and trying to sell your case about why they should choose you over another student who is in France and is equally qualified and is putting in the work, you're going to have a tough time. So I would say yes, on campus and focus on recruitment there.
Yeah, so we're now moving closer to your own journey and your own experience. Given the fact that you graduated during a period of economic uncertainty, do you have any tips on how we can best optimize our recruiting process? How do we make the best use of the CDC? How do we use our career coaches? And in essence, what do we prioritize to land our dream jobs?
I'll stick briefly on the topic of geography for just a moment, because I think it's relevant. If you are trying to pivot and you are maybe going into this thinking, I want to move to consulting and they hire tons of people, and as long as I'm sort of qualified and have work authorization, I theoretically should be able to get an offer in whatever place. Let's take London as an example. You know, super qualified, work authorization. I want to move to London, but I've never lived there before. That in previous years probably would have been possible. In my year, it simply wasn't. I saw many friends who were from EU countries and were trying to move to London. And these are super, super intelligent people who I'm sure would have crushed the case interviews, but they had never lived in London before. They couldn't demonstrate that commitment to the geography. They didn't even get interviews. It was very straightforward. And I think the reason for that is these consulting firms, you could be as qualified as possible, but at the end of the day, they want to know that you're actually going to take the offer for them.
Right.
They don't have a community here already. They're moving for the first time. Unfortunately, in this market, they're going to take the person who has an established life in that geography. So that's not to say pivoting is impossible. I could give the example of actually the girl in my group, the Canadian engineer. Even in this market, she was, I think, one of two students in my batch who received offers both from Bain and BCG. And she, being Canadian and having never lived outside of Canada before this year, her Bain offer was for Doha and her BCG offer was for Dubai. Oh, and wow. She pulled that off because she spent the whole year, she took every single opportunity to hang out with the Lebanese crew and get to know them and their networks and having some chats with their bosses back at their companies, that kind of thing. She went and visited the Middle East, I think 4 or 5 times. She took the Middle East elective, like all of these things, so that when she was writing her cover letter, she had a very strong case and could reference, like, when I was in the office this past April, I met with this person and had such an engaging conversation and that kind of thing. Like, she showed she was really serious about being there. And they had no doubts. My next kind of top tip, network with the INSEAD alums and really don't be afraid to send LinkedIn message or personal outreach. If there's something that even you think just might be interesting or you like to learn more about, take that extra step, even if it's a little bit scary. The INSEAD community, right. And I hope I'm a demonstration of this, I have found to be very, very giving and willing to spend their time with you. And I think it's much easier as well when you're a current student who's, you know, excited and ambitious, rather than maybe later on when you're recruiting and you're just kind of like, oh, well, I was at INSEAD at some point and now I'm still figuring life out. So do it from a position of power while you're like, yes, I'm running around and ambitious. So yeah, go for it.
Well, thanks. I think these answers have been very useful to me. I'm sure they're the same for the entire class of 2025D. My next question is, what are the things that you insisted on doing or attending that you feel you could have skipped in hindsight?
Don't bother with the consulting, like drinks and things in P1, P2. As long as you're focused on the case interviews in P4, you'll be fine. Like, your return on investment from having gone to, unless you're recruiting for a particular geography, like the example I just gave in Dubai and Canadian, the return on investment for you having gone to a drinks event and, you know, sipped champagne with McKinsey versus having gone to that same evening, if you had an invite to a lovely dinner with 10 people from your section, always choose the section dinner. Better to have those bonds and get to know people instead.
I think bold recommendation, a very, very bold recommendation.
I stand by it, really. Yeah.
Subina, thanks so much for sharing that. Just a couple of more questions and then we'll open up the floor for questions from our batch. And the last two questions from me. What advice would you give yourself if you were to start your INSEAD journey all over again?
It will seem like I'm focusing on the social side a lot, but I do that with intention. I think the INSEAD community is super. Everyone is fantastic and there's no way to get to know everyone in the course of the year. But focusing on forming those bonds early on, I think is very, very important and will help you for years to come. I've already started to see that in little ways. And certainly with recruitment, many of my friends like found jobs through others in their year. So I think the advice that I would have given myself is to not worry too much and to take the initiative and kind of almost force friendships in the early days. There are some people that I looked at in my section where I was like, oh, I'm sure she and I would be great friends, but we haven't naturally had that moment of running into each other or gotten to know each other yet, but she speaks up in the lectures and she seems great or whatever. There's so many people like that where in the early days, I wish I had just been very forward and said, hey, you seem great. Shall we grab dinner next week? just go for it. No one knows anyone and everyone's in that same starting boat of not knowing everyone. Don't be afraid to take charge.
If I just may ask a follow-up question, and this is more psychological in nature. One of the reasons why people hesitate in forming new bonds over a topic that's in their self-interest. For example, let's say I want to find an internship opportunity and hence I'm networking with you. I'm sure that comes in the way of people reaching out to others and feeling that what if my conversation seems very transactional? What if I come off as someone who's very needy in trying to make friends? What's your advice to us in terms of how we overcome this?
Well, for one, there's a difference with reaching out to alums. In that sense, I would say it's okay for it to be transactional. They're kind of expecting it and they're still willing to give their time. So in that sense, the advice is accept it, the nature of the transactionality, and go for it anyways. In terms of your peers on campus, make sure that you come from a place of genuine interest in getting to know the other person and wanting to hear their story. And yes, maybe you've heard that they are a consultant or working for whatever office you want to move to or have some fantastic job that you'd love to know more about. Approach them from a place of just thinking, you know what, you are a fascinating person who I respect and I'd love to hear your story. And if the conversation then comes to, oh, by the way, would you have any advice for me? Because I'm in fact interested in that. Amazing.
The next question, Sabina, is what has been the biggest mistake of your NCR journey and why?
I can say there's nothing that immediately comes to mind.
Okay, I think we'll live with that.
Yeah.
But I'm sure a lot of us are going to make mistakes. And when the 25B batch comes back, they would have some of the mistakes to share. But I think your journey has been quite spectacular. You moved industries, you came from executive search and you wanted to secure a job in consulting. You did that at one of the top firms. You spent one entire semester swimming in the seas of France. I think you've had an amazing experience. So I can understand why you're saying there's nothing which you would call out as a mistake. How did you say no to things without offending your classmates or your professors? Because I'm sure you had a lot of situations. You wanted to be in both places. What was your approach and how did you manage emotions on all sides?
It happened many, many times. The beautiful and difficult thing about INSEAD is that there's no perfect way to ever optimize things. You can't possibly go to every event that you want to, but you will still go to many, many amazing things. And as I think our OB professor put it, the best party of the year will inevitably be the one that you weren't at because you will build that up in your mind, inevitably. In terms of how I said no, I think during P4, I know I use the words kind of social hermit jokingly, but also seriously, like I really was not going out at all that period and was spending my time waking up, going to the library, doing case prep, going to the gym, going for a walk in the forest, going home. Again, 6 weeks, I told myself, just like keep your head on straight. That like process of saying no, I would explain it to people in exactly those terms of being quite open and just saying, I'm really sorry, I am going to miss this party tonight. And I have made this promise to myself of like just 6 weeks, got to make it work. And I think that is reflective of a principle that you may already know or will learn in OB, that as long as people have buy-in to the process and transparency of process, they will generally be okay with the outcome or the results, even if it's not in their favor. So explain your logic, explain why you're missing, say you are sorry you won't be there, and then make up for it in P5 or later.
I think they've got to be as equally sweet as you are to all of us for them to not be offended with your nose. But thanks for such a candid answer. We've got three questions from our class. So Aditya, over to you for your first question to Sabina.
Hi, Sabina. Thank you for doing this. My question is on course exemption. Should we exempt that or should we enjoy the experience with a cohort?
Honest answer, I did not go for any. Again, my philosophy and linguistics degree was just oh so useful when it came to INSEAD. But in terms of friends that I know who went for exemptions, it seems the straightforward answer is yes, absolutely try for them. It's one exam and yes, you'll have to maybe do some studying beforehand, but worth it if it means you can then go to some other club or take some other elective that might be super interesting because you then have the space.
Thanks, Sabina. I think the next question is from Sharzad. So Sharzad, if you can unmute yourself.
Thank you so much, Sabina, for all the information. Hello. I wanted to ask, what do you think about applying for leadership positions in the clubs? So on one hand, you get to know more people and especially those that have the same interests as you. But obviously the priority is also to find the job that you want afterwards. So it's a lot of workload as well. So what do you think about having these roles? Thank you.
Yeah, for sure. I think if they align with what you are recruiting for or what you're genuinely interested in, and maybe don't have a background in, something like the Search Fund Conference. There was a leadership team that did that this year. If you've never worked with a search fund before and have absolutely no background, but think that it might be interesting and think that you want to recruit in that space, yes, absolutely go for it. It will give you the legitimacy on your resume and it will open the door for you to have conversations with people where maybe if you're just one of many students reaching out saying, you know, oh, I might be interested in starting a search fund one day, but I don't know, I'm also looking at consulting. They might not be as willing to, you know, give all of their time. But if you say, hey, I'm on the team that's organizing the Search Fund Conference, it gives you a great intro. So if it can tick two boxes at once of help with recruitment and fulfill your own interests and all of that and give you a leadership position, absolutely go for it. Otherwise, if you're doing it just to have in any leadership position on your resume, honestly, I would say it's probably not worth it and your time can be spent in better ways.
Thanks, Sabina. The next question is from Sartaj.
First of all, thank you, Sabina. This is a really wonderful and insightful session. So my question, during P1 and P2, did your typical day look like? What time did you wake up? How were the classes? What did you do during your lunch break? And so on and so forth.
Yeah, sure. Great question. So P1, P2, when you have the core classes going on, you'll probably have in the region of 3 to 6 hours of lectures a day. 6 hours would be at the heavy end, but it does happen. And that will be sitting with the same group of roughly 60 to 80 students in your section all the time. So you get to know those people quite well. I would wake up probably around 7:30, 8, go and pick up a sandwich or croissant at Freddy's, the cafeteria, or like little sandwich shop even. There's like a full cafeteria above on campus. I would like to go generally a little early, see who's around, sit in the kind of the lawn chairs outside if the weather allowed and run into people. Great way to just get chatting and spend a little extra time before your class. Outside of the lectures, then we would probably have group work scheduled at some point. So I would meet with my group, check in, maybe just like a weekly check in to say, hey, here are the assignments we have this week. How are we going to divvy it all up? Are there any that we need to sit down and actually do together? And then I would probably go home, go for either a run in the forest, which by the way, is literally, it's right next to campus. So it's great if you want to go for a lunchtime walk. It's 5 minutes to get to the forest and you're suddenly like in a completely different world, which is great to mentally reset. Maybe go to the gym on campus, which would be more overrun than not in the evenings, but still, you know, it's suitable. And then probably have drinks or dinner with a constantly rotating crew of anywhere from 10 to 20 to 100 people. Some of the houses would host larger parties than not. Victoire, I'm looking at you, if any of you guys are staying there. There's something going on every night, whether it's a house party or a house dinner, or even just I would maybe, if I had absolutely nothing scheduled that night, I would text a friend or grab a housemate and we would go to, there's like this one street in town that has a couple of different bars where you would inevitably run into the whole class.
We need another session with Sabina where she teaches us the art of being disciplined, having a routine during the NCERT MBA. I think we have three more questions.
I had a quick question about exemptions. I've heard by a few alums that the first two parts of the degree, mm-hmm. you're quite swamped all the time. You saying that you have 6 hours of class a day is just basically confirms that. Do you think we should try to exempt maybe a few courses that, for example, accounting, which is relatively easy to read up on?
In short, yes. I don't think I know anyone who exempted something and regretted it. I would say it's only a net positive if you can get away with it. If you think you might be able to pass the test, even if you're not super confident, still try. There's no harm in trying. And getting that kind of time back in your schedule of dropping a whole class, I think is hugely beneficial.
The next question is from Gergo.
I just had a quick question about recruitment for internships prior to arriving to campus. I'm in the January class, so there would be an internship opportunity in the summer, and recruitment, for example, by the big banks has already started. So I was wondering if you have any advice regarding that. Thank you.
Yeah, so as a J, you know, my personal experience was slightly different, but I've spoken with some of the Ds who are going through it right now. It sounds like a very quick turnaround of needing to be on top of things with some deadlines approaching as soon as January. The helpful part of INSEAD, I suppose, is that hopefully most of those deadlines have been made aware to you or will be made aware to you, either through sort of the network effect of people posting on WhatsApp groups and, you know, complaining almost, or through the CDC, hopefully sending out notices about upcoming deadlines and things. I know with consulting, at least, and I believe it's similar for banking, if you have the internship offer over the summer and you're an INSEAD student, it's a near certain guarantee that you would then get a full-time offer afterwards. So yes, as much as, you know, the social side I say matters, take it with maybe the slight caveat that for your December class, those internships are important. It's not the end of the world if you don't get one, but worth shooting off an application if you're hesitating rather than not.
Fair. Thanks, Sabina. The next question is from Almendra.
My question was regarding recruitment. How would you handle it for us that do not have yet a specific region targeted and have many options? Because I got a little bit worried thinking that we were going to need 5 trips to each region or that stuff.
As much as I gave the example of my friend who overinvested in the Middle East, don't try and spend all of your time recruiting for every geography. The CDC will have lots of hiring statistics about which markets are more hot than others. So I would suggest talking with your career coach, definitely, if you have a couple of different ones in mind, and they may be able to guide you in terms of prioritizing which ones you'll have the best chance in. You will inevitably hear the advice that, oh, you should just focus on whichever ones you would most want to be in. Recruitment and hiring statistics are one thing, but think about what's genuinely going to make you happy. And that comment may come across as a little blasé, and you'll hear it many times, but I do think there's a kernel of truth to it, because wherever you genuinely want to be is probably where you will have the strongest case for and where you'll be most aligned, which in this market, as I mentioned earlier, being able to demonstrate commitment, showing that you would actually accept an offer if given one, is what recruiters are going to care about. Try and do your homework with the CDC, find out that perfect Venn diagram of where you would really like to be, where you could see yourself building a life, and where is a potential hotbed would be the best way to go about it. And if you're looking at different sort of industries and things, getting to know the people in those regions and the types of jobs that they have, just having some coffee chats and going for a walk in the forest may also be very helpful to start to imagine yourself in that place.
If I may ask one of the closing questions to you now, if you were to give our class of 25D 3 recommendations on what we should prioritize and why we should prioritize during our MBA journeys, we'd like to hear our thoughts on that.
So number one, and hopefully these will sound simple and familiar because there's some truth in them, make sure you really have it clear in your head, like what you want from INSEAD from day one. Put in that time in the early days. Like I was saying, if you have the option to take a week off beforehand, do it. Let your mind be at rest so that you can come in with a clear head. And if the one thing you want to get out is changing geography, changing job, or just getting to know a bunch of fascinating people, or doing really well academically, whatever it is, write it down in a list of, you know, what if I just walk away with one thing from this year, what should it be? That's step number one. Have that clear in your head, because it will inevitably be put under pressure, and then it's going to run away from you, and you're going to want to say yes to trips, and you're going to want to, you know, do the best you can for your group or whatever else. FOMO is a constant beast that you're going to try and fight, even if you're not usually susceptible to it. Then number two, say that goal out loud and communicate it with your peers. There's something of just like putting your hopes and aspirations out into the world, which will sound cheesy, but if people know, if they've had one conversation with you, and the thing that they take away is, oh yeah, she's interested in moving into ecology, or I'm wanting to do environmental work or something like that. If you say that openly, then maybe later in the year when someone asks, oh, there's some like environmental sciences focused position that I just heard about, do we know anyone for it? They will be able to say, oh yes, Sabina actually told me once that's something she's vaguely interested in. Put that name forward. Like, it really doesn't take much. Just let people know what you're looking for, and you never know when that will come back to you and help you out. So yeah, define your goal, let the world know what that goal is. And then number three, be kind to yourself. INSEAD is, like I said, it's a pressure cooker. It feels a little bit like a social experiment. You will be pulled and tested in ways that you can't really expect or explain. And I know this sounds very culty because it kind of is, but there's no perfect way to do the INSEAD journey. You will inevitably feel like you're missing out on some things, but bright side, you're like, whatever path you will have chosen will still be a fantastic one, because there's also not really any wrong answers because of that. So give yourself some grace.
we've all taken away some very, very important and key lessons for our own selves. Before we thank Sabina for her time, I'd also like to thank the entire team that has been working on the Instart Fireside Chat series. So Khyati, Omar, AT, Alex, Shirley, Alia, Ketav, Martin, Aditya, and the entire class of 25D, a big shout out to you for your support and for making these conversations with our very, very talented and notable alum, including Sabina, possible. We have 7 more exciting sessions lined up for all of you. The second session is tomorrow, which is on planning the first 6 months of the NCR journey with Tudor. On the 16th of November, a session on how to plan for a career in entrepreneurship during the MBA. The next session by Ankit, called Negotiating Your Career During P5 in Fonti, will be organized on the 23rd of November. And after that, we have sessions on building a career in consulting, building a career in industry roles, learning about campus exchange programs. We will learn from people who've actually lived those experiences of going to a Wharton exchange, going to an Abu Dhabi exchange, and also moving from Fonti to Singapore and from Singapore to Fonti. Finally, the last session will be on planning a career in tech and product during the NCR journey. We look forward to hearing your feedback on today's session. And finally, Sabina, a big, big, big thank you for taking time out of your calendar. And this session was so awesome. I'm sure your LinkedIn will have at least 100, if not 200 new connection requests by the end of day today. It was a pleasure speaking to you.
Good luck. You're going to crush it. I believe in you all.
Thank you so much. And thanks, everyone, for joining in. The recording for this session will be available very soon. We have a team that's working on that as well. Thank you so much. Have a great day ahead.